The terms of this gentleman's agreement were as follows. A clandestine German intelligence organization was to be created. This organization would work jointly with the Americans, but would not be subordinate to them. The organization would operate exclusively under German leadership, with only assignments coming from the Americans. The organization would be funded by the Americans, but not from occupation costs. The organization would remain in American hands until a sovereign German government was created and agreed to take responsibility for the group. Should the organization at any time find German and American interests in conflict, it would consider the interests of Germany first. The political risk of this agreement, to which Siebert was exposed, was very great, conceded Galen, who was most pleased with the arrangement. Anti-German feeling was running high, and he had created our organization without any authority from Washington and without the knowledge of the War Department. I understand that he informed his opposite number in the British zone, Major General Sir Kenneth Strong, of our existence, but he asked him not to inquire too closely into the matter for fear that the press might discover our activities. Galen and some of his staff members were soon flown to Washington in a military plane belonging to Walter Bedell Smith, General Eisenhower's chief of staff, who went on to direct the CIA from 1950 to 1953, and also succeeded Averell Harriman as U.S. ambassador to the Soviet Union. Smith was to become an early member of the secretive Bilderberg Group, initially headed by former SS officer Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. Galen's self-serving proposal was accepted by Siebert's military superiors, who did not know of the globalists' control over the Soviet Union and, therefore, were easily frightened by Galen's description of this military-ambitious, evil empire. Under the proposal, Galen would operate independently and as an equal, offering the Americans only the information they requested or he decided to share, but never in any way conflicting with the interests of his fatherland. In other words, virtually everything the United States learned about Soviet aims and capabilities at the end of World War II came from an anti-communist underground filtered through a Nazi organization with connections to the international financial elite. Carl Oglesby, author of The Yankee and Cowboy War, wrote that by 1948, following the formation of the CIA, Galen had grown tight with Dulles and his organization, and become in effect the CIA's Department of Russian and East European Affairs.